So it's my pleasure tonight to welcome to the Ango Jan Seymour Ford, who's a senior Dharma teacher in Bama Sui Zen, and also performs many other functions, including being the practice leader at the Providence Bama Sui group. Why don't you take them off and explain practice to them? Welcome. Thank you. So, what was I saying about you? Well, when I think about Jan, I think about all the many things she does. And actually, in my mind, Jan is one of the founders of Bama Sui Zen. You might say the mother of Bama Sui Zen. So, in addition to all her other functions, I always bow to her in gratitude for getting me in so much trouble.
So I was here on Saturday when we had the opening ceremony for the Ango, and we read the entirety of the piece we just read together, Bodhisattva's Four Methods of Guidance by Dogen. Giving is the first of the four methods he addresses, and that's what we're concentrating on this week. So I really kind of drank it in and waited to see what would arise from that reading. And the image that came to me very powerfully was this scene from the movie Lawrence of Arabia. And in this scene, Lawrence is creating an alliance with this tribe of really fierce Bedouin nomads. And the leader, I think the leader's played by Anthony Quinn. Can you picture that? He's good. So he's sort of boasting of his wealth and power. And at the end of his speech, he says, "And yet I am a poor man, for I am a river to my people." And all the Bedouins rise up and yell in assent and wave their scimitars. And that scene made a really deep impression on me. I've remembered it. That's the thing I remember about that movie for 50 years. As a kid, I was kind of bullied. I was not especially a happy kid. I was not especially well-adjusted. But that scene, and I think I must have been 10, 11 then, it's as if it gave me a glimpse of a different way of being alive without feeling separated. And I really wanted to live in that stream of connection. I wanted to be that river. I really think that longing was my practice calling me to me even then. Dogen says, "When you leave the way to the way, you attain the way. At the time of attaining the way is always left to the way. When treasure is left just as treasure, treasure becomes giving. You give yourself to yourself and others to others." Dogen's words are instructions to us. This kind of giving calls us to unclench and relax the death grip we have on our scripts. It calls us to simply be authentic and let life flow through us. That unclenching, that letting go, is what our practice asks of us over and over again. And it's always a constant thing. You don't do it once and for all. It seems to be something we have to do in every moment. Dogen says, "The truth can turn into valuables. Valuables can turn into the truth. This is all because the giver is willing." That willingness is our great challenge. There's comfort in clinging to our stories about how life is supposed to be. But when we let go of the scripts we write for ourselves and other people, we find our authenticity. And when we live in that authenticity, it's a gift to others because it calls to the authenticity of the others we're with. I have a coworker who is a talented writer. About 4 years ago, she started to honor the necessity she feels to write. She has a dark and sardonic imagination, and so she gave some expression to it, but she's been struggling to try and channel it to write things that might not be so bizarre. And recently she told me that she finally stopped. This story came to her, and she just let it flow out, and she had that experience that writers often speak of, where the story just presented itself. The characters are alive, and all you have to do is write it down. And she's still kind of amazed and maybe a little unsettled at how bizarrely dark and strange it is. But I told her that people of my generation say, let your freak flag fly. I said, or I could have used Dogen's words. To leave flowers to the wind, to leave birds to the seasons, are also acts of giving. What we give, what we're called to give, is really none of our business, because it belongs to the Dharma. What Alexa writes is none of her business. It's what she owes to life. Our own authenticity is none of our business, because it belongs to the Dharma. It belongs to the river of life. We only need to unclench and let it slip through our open hands. Dogen and the Dharma call us all to be a river to our people. By doing our practice, we become the source of that river to the world. So, thank you.
Thank you. So please make yourselves comfortable. Thank you so much, Jan. We're going to have our Dharma dialogue now, which is a discussion. And this is a time when we can ask questions or bring up something that's coming up for us in our practice, and feel free to be in dialogue with each other. And we always begin this by going around and not in too rushed a manner saying our names. My name is Melissa.
I'm Raleigh.
I'm Fran.
Steve. Ed.
Aaron.
Alan.
Aaron.
Diane.
Greg.
Heather.
Deb.
Jesse.
David.
James.
Jan. I really liked that you brought in Lawrence of Arabia, because it's one of my favorite movies. And I had forgotten that scene and hadn't made the connection. But, really, I can see Anthony Quinn in his Arab makeup with his scimitar. Yeah, that feeling of being so much in the river of life that you're giving. I really appreciate that. I also appreciate the translation of some of Dogen's words into "let your freak flag."
Words to practice
yeah.
by.
he wishes he'd said that.
He did say it.
And you're mentioning that being authentic calls forth the authenticity in other people, you know, so you let your freak flag fly, and pretty much everyone does, you know. So I think sometimes we forget how much of an effect we can have on others, you know, how our courage, you know, inspires other people's courage to show up. So it's a really nice thing to point out in the writing, so thank you.
I like the image of letting our life run through our fingers, because usually that's like a negative image, you know, the sand is running through our fingers, but I think of like lying in a stream where there's a current and the current washes over you, and how wonderful it is to just let it flow. But as you say, quite a hard thing to do. We want to capture it or do something with it. Nice to think we can just stand with our hands, fingers open, and let it dribble through whatever rate it goes.
And I think the idea of letting go of the script, I think many of us have scripts that probably would not really make it in Hollywood. They're not Lawrence of Arabia. But nonetheless, being able to just drop that, and it's a hard thing to do, but it's a really hard thing to do. But it's nice to know it can be done.
Well, it feels to me like the moment in a sesshin when you're so sick of your tape loops that you just think, well, why don't I just not do them? And it's just a gift of grace that happens over and over.
Yeah, I think it's important to emphasize that, because it's not that we just decide, oh, I'm going to get rid of the scripts, but there's some kind of fed-up quality. We were talking about boredom, actually, a couple of nights ago, I remember. The scripts are so boring, the same thing over and over again. But there is this moment when we make this little subtle shift, and I think that's what you're pointing to. And it's freeing. Although in my experience, they come back.
Yeah,
they do. But they don't carry the same force after a while.
The summer reruns.
Endlessly.
I keep looking to hire a better writer.
Dogen.
I'm not really sure about this, but sometimes it seems like letting go is impossible. And I was thinking about it in terms of listening to the a report on the radio about this person who killed the children in Connecticut. And I was realizing that I have a relationship with that man just by the fact that I heard about him. Like, I didn't really create that relationship, even though it seems like my mind did it. It just happened as soon as I heard it. Like, whatever conditions were in me and whatever, you know, was on the radio right then created this kind of relationship. And then I was thinking to myself how I have all these different thoughts about it and how I maintain that relationship. I was asking myself that. How do I maintain that relationship I have with this guy? Actually, it's like, from what I heard. And it seemed like letting go of it, it's actually, it is what we were talking about in the writing, about being in the moment, because in this moment, it isn't the same as that moment when it arose. And there's a lot of different things in me and a lot of different information and a lot of other presence that I can relate to besides just constantly picking up something that arose before.
Well, I think you point to the stickiness of some things. So it gets in our mind, and as Melissa was saying, we would like to be able to say, well, just stop, I'll just let it go. But it's not that easy. But I think somehow examining it and actually realizing, so, but I'm actually in a different place. There are different things going on. We can't, they say once a neural connection is made in the brain, you can't undo it. And the more energy you try to undo it, the stronger it gets. So instead of trying to undo it, you know, we bring our attention to the present moment. So if we try to let go, we're monkeying with it. And sometimes it's just to let it be, not to let it go. Let it be and bring our attention to our breath, to this moment, to what's happening here. Yeah, so it can't let go. But letting go can happen.
Some moments are just longer than others.
That's for sure.
They are, because the conditions that are holding them in place are much longer, like your child or your mother. That relationship, you know. But a tree, when you encounter it, it really, each thing is really a relationship in that how you just are encountering it. And it seems awesome to try to relate to things exactly as they are and to really receive all the different things that are there now and not just these certain pieces of information that were so important.
Yeah.
Because you have such a relationship to those pieces of information that you shut out the relationships that are around the same subject now.
Yeah, thank you. That's
Thanks. Steve and then Emma.
Thank you very much, Jan, for your talk. I really appreciated what you were saying about how what actually shows up for us is none of our business. We set our intention, and then my job is to meet what appears, which does not necessarily match my intention at all. But it's the reality of the moment, and what alternative do I have? I mean, I'm going to meet it regardless. So it did make this commitment to bring some awareness and willingness to meet what's actually here, and try and utilize what has shown up. I think it's very nice, and I keep thinking that I am responsible for the outcome of things. That if things don't go well, that it's my fault, that I should have done better, or whatever. And to a large extent, it doesn't work that way. It's causes and conditions and so many externalities that determine how things go. And what can we do other than set our intention and vow to meet what shows up? Thank you.
Thank you.
I was also, Jan, really grateful for that image from Lawrence of Arabia. And the way it was percolating in me was this image of being a river through which things flow. If you think of it not the way it was in the movies, material goods and, silver goblets and money and whatever else he was giving to his clan, but you think of it as teaching, it's such a nice image of the Bodhisattva way. That you give away all your attainment, you give away all your wisdom, you don't try to keep it to yourself, you're not trying to keep it, guard it as some treasure that you patiently, assembled and now it's yours. But it's all just to go, and I love the river image, and I appreciate your being a river for us tonight.
Thank you. So you guys show that words can be foolishly spoken and wisely heard.
Stop bragging.
I would love to hear some of you teachers speak about intention. Intention seems to be such a strong condition. When we talk about having intention, or you want something, or you let go of something, or whatever, it's really your intention to do it. But is it something special as a condition, more than other things?
That's a delightful question. In classical Buddhism, our intentions are karma. I mean, that's what everything flows out of our intentions. I think most of us see intention and action as very much connected, however, today in most of our lives. But there is something about volition, intention, setting, whatever it is. We're encouraged here to see the larger possibilities of our lives that we want to redirect, that maybe we're tired of the tape loops, and we commit ourselves to this practice to make ourselves maybe hire that better script writer, or even better, to fire all the script writers. And then, then we throw our hearts into the practice and we see what happens and what comes out of it. For me, it's really important to tie intention and action together, though. That we intend sets our heart to something, but then we need to, throw our butt on the pillow or go to that job or, deal with the family member, whatever it is that we're about. For me, the practice, that's the whole practice. But the intention's the gate. You know, it's what starts everything, allows us to not just unconsciously follow the flow of our actions, but to take us in a more healthful direction than might otherwise be the way, in my experience.
Beautiful.
I like the image of throwing our butt on the cushion.
Well, the rest of you follow.
The other thing it reminds me of is the Uchiyama Roshi, a 20th century Japanese teacher, talking about vow and repentance. Mm. And we say our bodhisattva vows that are impossible. And we make this vow to wake up, which is impossible. But yet that is so important, you know, to head butt on the cushion, what, you know, whatever, however it manifests, going to the job, you know, being with family, whatever. And then the repentance is important too, because if we think we've got it, then we're really deluded. So that we're always going to fall short, and so seeing where we miss the mark, you know, where we wander away. If you don't know you've wandered away, you can't come back. So we vow to live these lives of service. We vow to give everything away, and again we hold on. You know, we vow to fire all the script writers, but this really great one sneaks up, and the story's so good and compelling, you just have to see what the ending is. Oh, rats! I meant to fire them all. but I think it talks about the ebb and flow of practice. You know, sometimes we're in it and really there, and then other times we crash and burn. I realize, man, I missed the turn about, you know, half an hour ago, and I'm way off the highway. But all of that is part of the larger picture. So, great question. Thanks.
Maybe that's a good place to end our Dharma dialogue tonight. And